And then I get a notice on my phone, just like showing me walking around in my underwear because they thought I was an intruder.
That's so, enough to make you not use any technology ever again.
Exactly.
Seeing yourself in your underwear. Hey everybody, welcome to GeekWire. I'm GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
I'm GeekWire managing editor Taylor Soper.
And I'm pleased to welcome into the GeekWire studio Kevin Lasota, GeekWire's photographer and videographer. It's great to have you here, Kevin.
Hello everyone.
All right, so Kevin is here because he and I went to a very unique event. At least it's only been held three times so far, and that was Amazon's annual Devices and Services unveiling, where they show the latest gadgets that run Alexa and new Echo speakers, and it turns out a lot of other random stuff every year.
That's an understatement.
We're introducing today a new Echo Dot with a clock. We're also excited to announce today the all-new Echo. So I want to be the first to show you Echo Studio. This is called Echo Glow, Echo Flex, Echo Buds, Echo Frames, Echo Loop.
Yeah, last year we were blown away that they had like more than a dozen things that they announced at this event. And this year, Taylor, did you say you were counting or you heard somebody was counting?
I think the number was 15, but I was back here at GeekWire HQ 1 and it was hard to keep track of. It seemed like every 30 seconds there was a new device or service coming out.
And I'm happy to present X, you know, exactly. and that went on and on and on for an hour and a half almost.
Let's go over some of the highlights. Kevin, you were there. You're into technology. What stood out to you?
Well, I think the thing that stood out the most is Amazon's effort to put Alexa outside of the home and to find all sorts of scenarios where it can be used. It's not just sitting on your kitchen counter or sitting on your bookshelf. They want you to take it with you. And they don't have a phone, like certain other players in the technology space have phones. So they need to find new and novel ways to get you to use their voice platform.
And there were some crazy things. They brought out glasses, like eyeglasses. But my favorite, just for the pure novelty of it, was the Ring, the Echo Ring. And I got to try it out. And it's essentially like a ring that you put on your finger, and it's got a couple little buttons on it. You press them, you talk to Alexa, and then you hold it up to your ear. And I got to try it. It sounded like an AM radio, essentially. So you could just say, Alexa, tell me the weather, and then hold it up to your ear, and it syncs with your phone. I thought it was kind of novel and cool. But Kevin, I know you had a different opinion.
No. If you ever have that device, I'm not going out in public with you. I don't want to see you speaking to your finger and then sticking the finger back in your ear so that you can listen to it. It looked totally ridiculous. So you were a total dork when you were using it.
I thought it looked cool. I felt like James Bond. Of course, I always feel like James Bond. So,
you know the expression, talk to the hand? I think now there's going to be a talk to the finger.
And by the way, I misspoke. It's not called the Echo Ring. That would be too simple. And in fact, it would probably be confused with Ring, the video doorbell maker and security company that Amazon acquired a while back. So they had to come up with something else. They call it the Echo Loop. And it's a smart ring, and it's going to sell for $130. But this is part of initiative that they call the Day One program, where they put them out in limited quantities. The Echo Loop, the ring, and the eyeglasses that they announced were both part of this program. So you're probably not going to be able to get one. It's invite only.
It feels like a test bed. Like they'll throw these out there in total weird products. They have this smart oven too. That's the other.
Yes.
Was that one of the other day ones or no? That was legit.
Yes, the smart oven was totally
super legit, super super useful.
And actually, it did look somewhat useful. Like you could actually scan your frozen food item, and it would like program.
When are you ever going to do that, Kevin?
Well, I don't even own Alexa devices, so never.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. The reason that you don't own an Alexa device, which is actually interesting and plays into some of the other themes of the day. But yes, the Amazon Smart Oven, $250. Now, this is a follow-up to the microwave that was announced last year. And longtime listeners will remember that we actually had an Alexa microwave in the GeekWire offices, the forerunner to this product. And it lasted, what, like 2 weeks?
Caused a lot of frustration.
Yeah, it was underpowered. It was tethered to the Alexa. Like, you had to connect it to an Echo speaker to make it work.
If you're to believe the marketing pitch from yesterday, though, that microwave oven that you're complaining about is the number one selling microwave oven on Amazon right now.
Well, you know why it's the number one selling? Because I saw a funny tweet. There's been a lot of stories recently about how Amazon, you know, pushes their products higher up in the search results. So maybe that's why it's the best. Interesting.
Conspiracy theory, yes.
Well, and I should point out the microwave worked if you press the buttons, but to be able to use the voice commands and the Alexa-related features, you needed to connect it to an Echo speaker. And
yeah, and I'm excited to see, you know, kitchen tech, and I think there's actually a lot of innovation happening with commercial kitchens and stuff like that. So I do think it's kind of cool. I don't think I would use it, but the one thing I actually might purchase were the Echo Buds.
Yes.
This is a cannabis product?
That would be a good name for it.
That was Kevin's joke yesterday. He said we could do a total spoof video with
that would be awesome.
Like somebody putting actual. Yeah.
We're doing it. We're doing that. So many possibilities.
Yeah. So the Echo Buds, they are the answer from Amazon to things like the Samsung Galaxy Buds and the Apple AirPods. They sell for less than the AirPods. They're priced at $130. They're compatible not only with Alexa, but with Siri and Google Assistant. And I got to try them, and I have the same problem with them that I have with the Galaxy Buds. They are not comfortable. The problem is I was debating this with some of the other tech reporters who were there, and their point was this is extremely unique to each person who tries them. Some people will try the AirPods, and they fall out very easily. Some people will try the Galaxy Buds. And granted, they say that if you try the different rubber tips on each of them that you can probably find a good fit. I've struggled with the Galaxy Buds, and I sensed that I was having the same problem with the new Echo Buds from Amazon.
So how did they sound? They had some Bose noise canceling in them, which seemed to be the big selling point.
Yes. So my other big problem with the Samsung Galaxy Buds is the audio quality. It sounded tinny, but the Echo Buds, it sounded rich and much more full. So I felt like sound quality, at least, Amazon is ahead of Samsung.
Okay. Yeah. And the noise canceling?
Definitely noticeable. You could tell when it was on and when it was off, and it was really quite good.
Like this could be a replacement for the big noise canceling sets that you see on airplanes?
I don't know about that. That would require a lot of testing to figure out. I could definitely tell, though, when they were turned off and turned on.
Okay.
Now, do the AirPods, do those have like Siri inside?
You can access Siri by tapping on them when they're connected to your phone.
Okay. And I'm assuming this is how the Echo Buds will work. It is cool that it's compatible with Alexa, Siri, and Google. That was the interesting aspect to me is usually when I'm using Google Assistant with my Android phone, you know, bring the phone out and talk to the phone. So hard, first world problems. But it would be kind of cool just to tap my ear and talk to Alexa and get some information that way. So I'm interested in it, especially with the sound quality. And speaking of good sound quality, the Echo Studio, the new high-end Echo speaker, were you guys impressed with that? Because I think I heard Bezos talking about it later in the day and how he was really impressed with the team and what they did with that, particularly because of the price. It's cheaper than Sonos and maybe the quality is just as good or better.
Absolutely. So first off, let's explain what this is. It's essentially a larger Echo speaker.
It's like about the size of a volleyball.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good comparison. And they have engineered this thing so that it sounds like you are sitting in front of an array of high fidelity, top-notch speakers. I got to try it out in the quiet room there in the back of the demo area after the event. And wow, I mean, if you closed your eyes like the people did in the promo video, legitimately, you would be surprised that that quality of sound was coming out of that little package.
Right. And just out of a single speaker. If you want an even more dramatic soundstage, so to speak, I think you can pair them together. You could have a left and right if you really wanted to take advantage of that. But it was a very impressive sound coming out of a very small package.
And Amazon recently announced a new high def music streaming service too. So it's been interesting to watch. You know, Spotify is the big king in the music streaming industry, but Amazon Music has been quietly racking up users, pairing the hardware with the streaming service. It's been interesting to watch their music strategy.
But you guys haven't addressed the most interesting thing that they announced.
What was that?
It only cost 99 cents. It was the cheapest thing that they announced, and it was by far the one that caught my attention.
Okay, so this was the Samuel L. Jackson voice that replaces Alexa.
Correct.
Today in Los Angeles, it's 85 degrees.
Say my name.
Woohoo!
Oh, aren't we organized? I'm not reminding you.
I had a hard time wrapping my head around this one. When you talk to the speaker, it's not the voice of Alexa. It's the voice of Samuel L. Jackson that comes back.
Yeah, and the attitude of Samuel L. Jackson, including appropriately placed cuss words.
And why 99 cents? That's another thing that I didn't understand. Like, even if they sell a million of these things, they're only going to make $1 million. And that's just on the top line. Like, why would you charge 99 cents for this other voice? And by the way, we should say, he's
going to make up for it in volume, I guess. Well, I wonder if he'll lecture about his biblical lecture from Pulp Fiction. That would be entertaining. I'd pay 99 cents if my Alexa did that.
So, but he is just one in what's expected to be a series of celebrity voices that will be available as alternatives to Alexa.
Yeah, they named Chelsea Handler. Ed Sheeran was the other name that they mentioned. And it's interesting. I think what they're doing is they're recording large sample sets from these celebrities, but then they're using some AI to kind of fill in the blanks and add the grammar for sentences that the celebrity didn't actually say.
Yeah, it's funny. It's I thought it was hilarious, but now that I'm thinking about it more, it's pretty creepy and weird and kind of moving into this like deep fake world where we don't know who's real and what's what. And Alexa is Alexa, and that is like the robot, and that is the smart speaker.
Come on, Taylor. What, you wouldn't pay 99 cents to have Todd Bishop read the Daily News to you?
I don't know about that.
Well, now that you're saying that, they played some samples of the evolution of Alexa's voice. You were calling Alexa it, by the way, earlier. I have a hard time saying Alexa and then it, so I'll just use the pronoun her. I will anthropomorphize her.
I know you have a crush on her. Go on.
At any rate, her voice has gotten so much more human-like over the years.
True. That was an impressive demo, and you don't realize it until they roll back the clock to what she used to sound like.
Yeah, not only her voice, but her ear is improving as well, right? And I think they announced also a new frustration detection service yes. feature thing, right? I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it's real.
That's right. This is for me. So Alexa is able to tell when you're upset. They note it.
Yeah, she responds with a series of questions, knowing that you're not getting what you want out of her, so to speak. And I think they're using some feedback loop that whenever that happens, they're able to track it and correct for it and make their voice algorithms just better over time.
Yeah. So these were some of the devices that were shown, and there were a ton. I also liked the glowing orb that you can use in a kid's room to sort of create a dance party and all sorts of things.
I'm sure the glowing orb, out of all the products that they showed, they're going to sell them the most of the glowing orb. It's what, $30?
Yeah, let me actually get this right. The actual product name is the Echo Glow, and it's a companion device, so it does not have Alexa inside, but works in conjunction with an existing Echo. And it changes colors. You can do it to sort of mimic the sunrise and the sunset. Like I said, you can have a dance party. It will cost $30. So much like some of these other accessories that we've seen in the past, I'm sure that they'll sell quite a bit of these.
Right. It'll be the hot holiday item.
All right. So those are a few of the devices that Amazon announced, but there were also some bigger issues that the company touched on as part of this unveiling this past week. And we'll get into those right after the break.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
There were two underlying themes. Kevin, you have already identified one of them, and that is this whole notion of Alexa getting out of the home. And we not only saw that in the form of these devices, we saw this also through a service that Amazon announced called Sidewalk. And this is essentially a medium range wireless network. It uses the 900 megahertz spectrum to allow you to track objects, Internet of Things objects, beyond your yard, in your yard, out into the neighborhood.
We think beyond lights, the span of what customers might be able to do is almost infinite. People might build a little water sensor that you put in your garden that tells you, and you could have a dozen of in your garden to tell you when your tomatoes need to be watered. You might have a little thing in your mailbox that says when a package arrives or when that letter that you're expecting comes. Or you might build a weather sensor that you want to put on the back of your garden or out in the far side of your yard, and that can communicate back to the house.
Or even they showed a dog tracker, the Ring Fetch, which will allow you to create a boundary. And then if your dog leaves that boundary, it will alert you, and then you can track the dog through the neighborhood.
The reach of this wireless network is actually quite long. And so they gave this out to a few hundred of their employees in LA, and they managed to cover very large swaths of LA with wireless signal, that essentially a proprietary Amazon wireless signal.
That's right. They said they gave out 700 of these devices. Each of the devices as an access point has a range of up to a mile, sometimes less, but as much as a mile. And with those 700 access points, they were able to essentially cover the entire LA basin. This is something that could essentially be Amazon's wireless network around the country, essentially a mesh network formed
by private residences.
Yes, which raises all sorts of interesting privacy implications. Of course, they're giving assurances about privacy protections. But Kevin, you actually have a personal take on this that impacts your own use of these types of devices.
Well, I actually don't use these types of devices because I don't like the notion that people are eavesdropping on me or that they have the potential to listen to conversations in my house. I do think there's overreach on these platforms. Like, I really don't want 100% tracking of where I am. I don't want recordings of what I'm saying. I don't want cameras that potentially capture me in compromising situations.
Like, and what would those be, Kevin?
Well, I have a device like this. I have, it's called the Canary that I was beta testing for. I beta tested it for 2 days. And I came downstairs, you know, it's supposed to have detection that you're home and it's not paying attention. And then when you leave, it starts recording any motion that you see. Well, I came downstairs in my underwear one day, and then I get a notice on my phone like showing me walking around in my underwear because they thought I was an intruder. And I immediately unplugged the thing. Like, I don't want videos of this on the internet. That's
well, wait,
ridiculous.
Did the Canary put it on the internet?
Well, it put it on their little notification network. Yeah. So yeah, it sent it to their servers. So it,
yeah, that's enough to make you not use any technology ever again.
Exactly.
Seeing yourself in your underwear.
I so often walk around the house in my underwear. That
I love how you're making just this grand return to the Geekwire podcast here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you do not have any Alexas.
I had an Alexa that when the dog freaked out about it. I actually unplugged it because the dog, my dog hates the, he hates the Alexa voice. I don't know why. I don't know what causes it. I don't know if there's some high pitch in there that he just doesn't like. But every time I would say Alexa and she would respond, he would freak out. So I unplugged it. And I think seeing what I saw yesterday with this pervasive, you know, these devices everywhere, whether it be on your finger, on your glasses, in your car, networks that span your neighborhood, I don't know that I want Amazon to know that much about me.
Amazon did address this at the very beginning of the presentation. Dave Limp, the head of the Devices and Services Group at Amazon, who, by the way, will be speaking at the GeekWire Summit coming up.
And where can you sign up for that, Todd?
At geekwire.com/summit. Thanks okay. for asking.
Such a great return for Kevin.
he talked about a variety of steps that they're taking. But the context for this is Amazon was one of the companies that really got caught in some ways, allowing human review of some selected portions of customers' voices and their utterances. They say for the purpose of testing and improving the service, Amazon changed it so now you can choose not to be involved in that program. But this has really been an eye-opener for a lot of people out there as Google Assistant and Siri and Alexa have dealt with this controversy over the fact that actual humans are able to listen in on your conversations through these testing and improvement programs.
Yeah. And there's a legitimate purpose behind them. I mean, it does make the products better, but I'm surprised at all of these companies that they didn't think through this before they implemented some of these platforms. I mean, it should be self-evident that listening in on private conversations is not cool for most people.
And especially if the customer doesn't know, that's the thing, or
Correct.
Choose to be involved.
Correct.
So in addition to previously changing the way they run that human review program. Amazon yesterday also announced a series of new privacy steps. For example, they are implementing an auto-delete option for customers in the Alexa Privacy Hub. Customers can opt in to have their voice recordings older than 3 months or 18 months automatically deleted on an ongoing basis. And the company also allows you to ask Alexa questions now that will give you a sense for what's being picked up. For example, you can say, Alexa, tell me what you heard, and Alexa will read it back. Or you can say, Alexa, why did you do that? And Alexa will explain why she responded to something or took an action that she did in response to your action.
Right.
Man, it's just amazing to think. We've talked about so many different devices and software and privacy, and Amazon is, it's crazy how much they really are everywhere now. And whether you're looking at their business and their balance sheet, or you're looking at these societal issues, it's kind of crazy how pervasive this has become. And just this event, only 3 years old, we weren't the only ones covering this. All the tech news sites.
Hardly,
and then
yes.
It was, I saw it all over Twitter and Flipboard and all the new, like, you know, regular mainstream news. Like, this was at the top of the list. So pretty interesting how much attention that they command.
I mean, I'll give them props. The amount of innovation, the quantity of innovation that they're pumping out in their devices business is impressive.
It was interesting at the end of the day at the Amazon Spheres where the event was held, Jeff Bezos showed up, made a cameo. We were alluding to this earlier. I was paying particular attention to where he focused because some of the questions were open-ended, and some of the things that he talked about were, for example, the Echo Studio, the speaker that we were talking about earlier. He believes that it's on par with $500 speakers. And this is a very clear attempt by Amazon to undercut some high-end speakers from Apple and Bose and others that are trying to compete in this market.
Sure. Look at the Echo Buds. They're undercutting the Apple AirPods by, was it $20 or something like that?
Yeah.
So there's obviously a price competition going on that Bezos hopes they can undercut some of these established players.
And that, you know, their hardware strategy ever since the Kindle really was, you know, make cheaper hardware, but then get people into Prime, sell the services. So with all these services, I think the underlying thing is get more Prime members and get people into that flywheel. So it's pretty remarkable to see them continuing to keep the pedal to the metal.
Jeff Bezos' line over the years has been, Amazon wants to make money when you use their products. In other words, paying for content, paying for services, not when you buy the hardware. And traditionally, even on some of their early tablets, they were losing money for the sake of getting market share. And I think some of that has changed. But then when you look at when they enter new markets, especially with this high-end speaker, clearly that worked before. And so they're doing it again.
Sure.
And that strategy, you know, you look at where Apple is right now, and people aren't getting a new phone every year now, and the iPhone hardware business is kind of slowing a bit, and so they've kind of shifted their focus to services. So it's almost like Apple's followed in Amazon's footsteps in some ways.
That's a really good point. The last thing I wanted to point out was just a little bit of inside baseball. At the Spheres, I was sitting over there waiting to meet with one of the Amazon executives, and I was sort of going through my phone, and I looked up, and I suddenly realized there was a giant commotion in one side of the venue, and Jeff Bezos had walked in.
Tell the listeners why Jeff Bezos was there. It had nothing to do with the devices launch that yesterday.
That's right. He was there to introduce Charlie Puth. Is that how you say his last name?
No, that's not why he came there. You know exactly why he showed up.
Why?
It was your birthday.
Oh. Well, that was my joke on Facebook. It was funny. Okay. So I took a picture of him there, and it was my birthday. And I said, look who showed up for my birthday. And some of my friends thought.
Took it seriously.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. They think that Jeff Bezos would show up for my birthday? Wow. Either they're gullible or they think I'm really hot stuff.
I don't know. If anyone at GeekWire would have Bezos over for their birthday, it would be Alan. Alan Boyle, our space reporter, does know Jeff well enough that he might invite him over for birthday
parties. That's actually true. That's actually true. At any rate, it was kind of fun. I remember back in the day at the Microsoft financial analyst meetings, Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer would be out in the hallways, and it would be kind of like a Tiger Woods scene after the Masters or something, where you've just got this four or five deep ring of people around them just craning in to hear what they're saying. And it was not quite that big in terms of the crowd with Bezos, but it was an interesting moment and kind of fun to see him just interacting with the reporters. And actually, he then made some unrelated news when he acknowledged that Amazon is itself working on facial recognition regulation that they're going to submit or work with Congress in some form to see if they can create some guidelines for themselves and for others in the industry who are working on facial recognition. So just kind of a fun behind the scenes moment. All right, that is our roundup of the Amazon devices and services launch. We will be right back with the Random Channel. You're listening to GeekWire. Welcome back. It's time for the Random Channel, that moment of the week when we talk about some of the random items we were buzzing about behind the scenes at GeekWire this week. Kevin Lasota, our photographer and videographer, what's your random item?
There was an interesting piece in the LA Times. It was a profile on Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is the coach of the LA Clippers. And Rivers was talking about our buddy Steve Ballmer, the former Microsoft CEO and the Clippers owners.
Why are you calling him our buddy?
We did a whole bunch of podcasts with him. He's nuts. he's nuts in a good way.
In a good way, yeah. So Steve Ballmer was our partner on a podcast called Numbers Geek last year. Kevin and I worked on that together with Steve and his team. We even got to go to Staples Center. I got to sit on the baseline with Steve Ballmer, record a show. Kevin was on the other side taking pictures, and that has to be some of the craziest audio we've ever gotten.
It was, and your post-game interview with Doc Rivers, you know, you're in the room with like the ESPN reporters and the Clippers columnists for the LA Times.
The sports reporters were asking somewhat trivial questions that were random sports reporter questions. And I, because I was looking at the numbers, sitting next to Steve Ballmer, talking to all the sports reporters about the numbers, I actually had a really interesting insight on the field goal percentage for that game. And Doc was like, yes, that's interesting that you saw that. And he just went off.
Yeah, and he that's what I was talking about at halftime with the players.
Exactly.
So
anyway, what's your random channel?
Oh, Kevin? So in this profile on Doc Rivers, he's talking about Ballmer, and it said, Rivers said after Kawhi signed, and that's Kawhi Leonard, the big star from the Toronto Raptors, after he signed with the Clippers, they had a meeting where Ballmer walked in. He was punching in the air and making all sorts of sounds and noise. And Kawhi turns to Rivers and says, that man has too much energy.
Which is funny because Kawhi has like the least amount of emotion in the NBA.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, so they are like literally polar opposites.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, by the way, Steve Ballmer will be among the speakers at the GeekWire Summit coming up October 7th through 9th in Seattle.
And Todd, where can our listeners sign up for the GeekWire Summit?
I'm glad you asked, Kevin. GeekWire.com/summit. All right. So, Taylor, what's yours?
Random channel. I saw a tweet that was pretty interesting. If you wake up on a Casper mattress, hail Lyft to get to your desk at WeWork, use DoorDash to order lunch, and get an Uber home, you spent the day interacting with companies that will collectively lose nearly $13 billion this year. So that's just a kind of a funny thing of all these services and how all these companies are, they're not making a profit, and including WeWork, which has been going through crazy issues this past week or so with their co-founder having to step down and their valuation going down and the IPO being delayed. So I thought it's just interesting that we all use all these services that we rely upon that may not be sustainable businesses.
And you called it funny earlier. It's funny, crazy.
Maybe scary.
Funny, scary. Yeah, this is concerning when you look at this trend. The valuations of these companies in the private markets, that has to do a lot with interest rates and the stock market and all those sorts of things. But as these companies are going public, it's a reality check. And at least in the case of WeWork, it's not a good reality check. And that makes me concerned about the economy. Tell me I'm crazy, Kevin.
Oh, we've been down this path before. You were around for the last time we went through a cycle.
Yeah, 2008.
Well, no, the cycle before that, in the early 2000s. I mean, the hype then was as much, true, if not higher.
True. Yeah, I guess everybody these days tends to compare whatever situation we're in now to the prior recession, the Great Recession. But you're right, the dot-com bust. There are some similarities when you point that out. Yeah.
There was a popular post going around this week headlined, WeWork and Counterfeit Capitalism. So pretty interesting stuff going on right now.
That one I don't understand. WeWork, I totally do not understand. It is not a technology company in any way, shape, or form. It should not be valued as a technology company at all. It's a real estate play, and it's a real estate play that's been around forever. Regus has operated, short-term office leasing centers for decades, and it's a well-established business with well-established margins. you can't just come in and say, oh, we're
technology and community.
They're not technology and community. They lease office space. they're a landlord.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
Kevin Lasota.
And Taylor Soper.
Oh, and by the way, sign up for the GeekWire Summit.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. You're the best.